At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On a network that covers more roads than any other carrier. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls. Finish up that presentation or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell podcast on the iHeartRadio app. We do this thing every day from 1 until 4, and then after 4 o'clock, John Cobell show on demand on the iHeart app. We are going to have a press conference about the LA County Sheriff's deputy who was shot in the back while on his cycle. He was not seriously hurt, but they do have the shooter. And there's going to be a press conference on who the shooter is, and that could come up any minute. In the meantime, while we have a chance, let's talk with Peter Haralambos, and he is the ABC News investigative reporter, and he will tell us what happened at the Trump trial today in New York City. Peter.
Yeah, today was the day for these jurors. I mean, they were taken behind the closed-door meeting, what was once a secret meeting in 2015 between Donald Trump, his lawyer, Michael Cohen, and then publisher of the National Enquirer, David Pecker, where they each agreed that they would work together to push out positive stories about Trump, negative stories about his opponents, and what eventually ended up leading to Trump's criminal indictment, a catch-and-kill scheme to buy and silence negative stories about the former president. This was all during the direct examination of David Pecker, who's still on the witness stand. He's going to resume on Thursday. But he's really serving as the narrator, in a way, for this case, laying out the entire allegations to the jury as one of the main participants in this alleged conspiracy.
Right, and this is the setup. I mean, everything that Pecker testified today, not a crime in and of itself. There's nothing wrong with Pecker acting as a cheerleader for a candidate or, Trump looking for favorable coverage. But what it leads to is the payment that's in contention at the end of this story.
Yes. So that's 100% right. So the three payments, one to a Trump Tower doorman, one to a Playboy model, and the last one to Stormy Daniels. On their face value, they're not crimes. It becomes a crime after the election when Trump attempts to repay his lawyer, Michael Cohen, for a $130 hush money, $130,000 payment to his lawyer, Michael Cohen. Prosecutors allege it became a crime at that point when Trump falsified records by not labeling them properly and saying that they were legal expenses. But at this point, prosecutors are framing this as an overarching conspiracy, that this was a crime done in order to facilitate an effort to influence the 2016 election. We'll see how the jurors respond to that over the coming weeks, but today is really kind of laying this, essentially laying the groundwork for the rest of the case.
Yeah, this this is such a weird case because what Pecker laid out today, every single action is not a crime, but because it ended up with this falsified payment listed in the business records, it's like all considered part of the crime.
So prosecutors are suggesting, based on their past court filings, that, you know, Trump's falsification of business records was done in furtherance of another crime. Somehow they're going to have to tie that falsification back to an election law being broken in 2016. But we haven't seen that laid out yet. But I think it's important to note that the witnesses in this case have a ton of baggage. Prosecutors admit that. A porn star, a disbarred lawyer, a tabloid publisher. And they've chosen David Pecker, who, you know, theoretically has less baggage than Daniels or Cohen, to be their narrator, to be the one who introduces the jury to this evidence. I think that's a meaningful choice. I think it's an important framing. I mean, the National Enquirer, despite its reputation, is a somewhat of a household name. It's the kind of tabloid you see when you're waiting in line at the grocery store. Some of the stories that this agreement facilitated, you might remember, for example, there was a wild story in 2016 that that Ted Cruz, his father, was connected to the JFK assassination. That came out of this entire secret agreement to publish negative stories about Trump's opponents.
Oh, I saw
important framing.
I just saw on TV they laid out all these Hillary Clinton covers from that period, and they had Hillary dying of brain cancer in 6 months.
Jeez. And Trump was watching intently as David Pecker was testifying about this. Pecker explained how, at the end of the day, Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton stories was their kind of bread and butter. It sold tabloids back in the day. And that regardless of what happened with Trump, he was going to run those stories, even if it also had the additional benefit of hurting one of Trump's political opponents.
Yeah. I mean, Clinton and Trump always was big box office for any media outlet over the years. Well, what about the hearing on whether Trump violated a gag order? Because he can't control himself every time he leaves the courtroom. He holds a mini press conference with reporters and starts trashing everybody in sight. So what was the hearing about today?
You see this?
All right, we're going to break in now, hold on, John, Peter. And yeah. We're going to go to that news conference.
Story. I'm here to discuss the details surrounding the attempt murder of our deputy, Samuel Aspudo, who was shot in the line of duty yesterday in the city of West Covina while he was on a police motorcycle in his full police uniform. Detectives from the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department Homicide Bureau quickly responded to the scene last night and started their investigation. Homicide detectives worked throughout the night to process the scene, collect evidence, and canvass the area for surveillance video and potential witnesses. During the course of their investigation, homicide detectives learned that officers from the California Highway Patrol Border Division arrested Raimundo Duran, a 47-year-old Hispanic male, on suspicion of drunk driving and weapons possession charge. He was booked into the San Diego County Sheriff's Jail. Raimundo Duran was detained by the officers of the CHP, San Onofre Inspection Facility in San Diego County. During their investigation, the California Highway Patrol officers retrieved a firearm from Raimundo Duran's vehicle. He was discovered parked at a location in a 2008 silver Toyota Camry four-door. Homicide detectives responded to San Diego County Sheriff's Jail and interviewed Raimundo. Based on statements obtained from Raimundo Duran, surveillance footage retrieved from the shooting scene in the city of West Covina, witness statements obtained by homicide detectives, detectives strongly believe that Raimundo Duran is the suspect involved in the shooting of our deputy in the city of West Covina. There is no evidence at this time that suggest that there are additional suspects outstanding or that may have been engaged in the shooting of our deputy. As you see, I'm surrounded by a lot of folks. So I do want to start off by thanking, bear with me, because this was a very urgent matter to us when this occurred. You saw our pleas for the community's assistance to come forward, and a lot of it, that did happen. So I do want to thank the tenacious work of our homicide detectives who are still working on this case from the minute it occurred. Our body-worn unit camera, who usually responds out to scenes to canvas for video. As you know, a lot of things are on video in this day and age. Our fraud and cyber crimes bureau and our deputies from the San Dimas station, our Century station, Industry station, and South Los Angeles Sheriff Station. I also want to take a moment to thank the West Covina Police Department. And their chief is here with us. And I spoke to him last night. He couldn't have been more helpful and all the help that they offered us last night. And then I'm flanked by a lot of CHP officers. And I'm not nervous. They're all behind me. Usually we get nervous when they're behind us, right? Especially on the freeway. But they did an amazing job. They took a very dangerous person off the road. And we believe at this time that it is our suspect. I also spoke to Kelly Martinez, who's the sheriff of San Diego County, last night, and they were very helpful in their assistance once this individual was in custody. I do want to mention about the CHP that Sean DeRee, the commissioner of the California Highway Patrol, contacted me this morning. He's like, hey, what can we do? How can we help? So he's been awesome, as well as the entire CHP. I also want to take a quick second to thank the witnesses that came forward immediately when our deputy was shot in the back. I can't say enough about them. They saw what they saw, got out of their cars, went immediately to aid our deputy, communicate with them, and eventually their information became very important to the investigation that our homicide detectives were conducting. So thank you. In our eyes, you're heroes. Not only did you help this deputy, but I have a feeling based on the characters that have been described, you do this for anybody who needed help out on the street. At the end of the day, I'm very happy that this person is in custody, but I'm even more thankful that Deputy Aspuro is doing well and he's recovering at home. I made several statements last night and talked about the fact that he was wearing his vest, his bulletproof vest, and we believe it saved his life. The situation could have ended so tragically. And even though this was not a good incident, I think the outcome is a lot better than we would have liked with his safety. And it does remind us for our community out there how dangerous the job is in law enforcement. I think we take it for granted. These men and women put on a uniform, a badge, 24/7, 7 days a week, and they go out there. There's gunfire. They run to it. They don't run away from it. And under these circumstances, I'm so proud to be part of this profession. So what I will do is I'll go on to the next phase. I'll take any questions that you may have. But please keep in mind that, yes, there are a lot of details in how our detectives worked with the other agencies to make this arrest. But a lot of the detailed information will be given in court. And we plan on doing everything we can to make sure that this individual gets prosecuted to the full extent of the law. And with that, I will open it up to any questions.
Sheriff, we're going to Ted Chenver, NBC 4. based on those witnesses you just thanked, can you share a little bit more about the circumstances that led up to the shooting? How did the suspect allegedly approach? What were the circumstances surrounding that shooting?
All excellent questions, and those are all details that we're still...
All right, then let's drop out if he's not going to answer any of the questions. We gave him one shot there. Sheriff Robert Luna. So the good news is they caught the guy. They caught the guy who fired at the sheriff's deputy while stopped at a red light. He was on his motorcycle, and the bullet hit the deputy in the back. But there was a bulletproof vest he was wearing, so the injuries were not serious.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Now, we just brought you the press conference that Sheriff Robert Luna had, L.A. County Sheriff. This story happened in West Covina at a stoplight. And Sheriff's Deputy Samuel Ispuro was shot once in the back yesterday afternoon at 2:45. It was at Barranca Street and East Garvey Avenue. He radioed for help, and there were a number of witnesses, and they got the guy. But there's no details available, obviously. They're just putting the investigation together and getting the witnesses together. So we dropped out of that. Ispuro had been with the department for 19 and a half years. And there's nothing more terrifying when you're a cop, sheriff's deputy, knowing you are a target for any random lunatic with a gun, that you can be taken out just standing in line getting a coffee, or walking the street, or sitting on your cycle at a stoplight. I mean, I can't imagine what that's like, knowing that there's always guys who want to take a shot at you. Let me see. What's this here? All right. The suspect identified as Raimundo Duran. And, yeah, he was arrested in San Diego County. All right. So, now, when we were interrupted, we were talking about the Trump trial with an ABC News correspondent, Peter Haralambos, and Peter obviously had to go. But one thing I wanted to finish up on was the second part of the story today. Part one was David Pecker, the publisher of the National Enquirer, testifying about his role in setting up the chain of events that led to Trump falsifying records as to what the payments were for. And Pecker was all in on helping Trump. They were friends. And he had no problem doing rah-rah stories, cheerleading for Trump, and also running stories that were embarrassing or negative towards anyone from Ted Cruz to Hillary Clinton. Remember, this was the 2016 race. And Trump's under a gag order, and it's making him crazy. He was complaining again today. I'm not allowed to defend myself, and yet other people are allowed to say whatever they want about me. It's very, very unfair. And called the judge, Juan Merchan, a highly conflicted judge. Trial's in recess as of 11 o'clock our time because of Passover, and they're going to come back on Thursday. But the judge has been irritated with Trump and irritated with Trump's law team, because he keeps telling Trump basically to shut up when you go outside. And then the lawyers try to tie themselves into knots, explaining that Trump's actually not violating the order. Well, he's going on a rampage all the time. And if anybody else in the world was told, shut up, you can't talk about the case publicly, the rest of us would, because we don't want to get sanctioned, pay a fine, or end up in jail for a couple of nights. Trump had to sit there and listen as Pecker was asked about a guy named Dino Sajudin, a doorman at Trump Tower. Now, Sajunin was trying to sell a story about Trump fathering an illegitimate child with a maid. He was, I guess, calling up various media outlets and got in touch with Dylan Howard from the National Enquirer. He was the editor-in-chief. And Pecker testified when he heard about the tip, he immediately called Michael Cohen, Trump's attorney, and told him exactly what I was told, that there was a story going around that Trump had knocked up the maid, and a la Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, it's not unreasonable to believe this sort of thing. And It turned out to be a false story, but they paid Sajudin anyway, $30,000 to take it off the market. This is the catch and kill aspect. This is what they did with Stormy Daniels. This is what they did with another woman as well, Karen McDougal, Playboy model. The McDougal story was true. Stormy Daniels story was true. The Sajudin story was apparently not true, but who the hell knows? In any event, you pay so no other outlet will buy the story and air it. And so that is the help that Pecker was giving Trump, is to not only pay for true stories and kill them, but pay for even untrue stories that sounded plausible and kill them before another outlet picked them up. Now, none of this is illegal. I have to stress this. Even people who have a unreasonable hatred of Trump, there is nothing wrong with paying people off to shut up. There's nothing illegal about paying a publication. Obviously, it's the National Enquirer. I don't think, is there anybody out there who didn't know that the Enquirer paid for stories? Is there anybody out there who thought all the stories the Enquirer published were true? Or that they thought they were true? No, of course not. All right. It's this bizarre entertainment that, you know, I guess there's a small number of like stupid people. I mean, the magazine really is pitched at stupid people. So maybe there's some stupid people who actually buy into this stuff. Most people don't. It's just weird entertainment. But what has to be stressed here is having a guy who owns a publication to do rah-rah cheerleading stories is not illegal. I think we know there are many news agencies now that are full-time cheerleaders for either the Republicans or the Democrats. That's the way the media has separated out. Even a lot of legitimate or formerly perceived to be legitimate news agencies now just do cheerleading, and people have split into squads. Well, that was true in 2016. And there were pro-Trump outlets and anti-Trump outlets, and that's the way of the world now. So none of that's illegal. The only illegal part is, the only illegal part is technically he wrote in his business records that this check to his attorney, Michael Cohen, was for legal fees, when actually it was a reimbursement for shutting down the Stormy Daniels story and others. That's a real nit to pick there, isn't it? I mean, you can make a good case that it was legal fees when you're paying an attorney who just done the work and made the payment himself to shut the stories down with the National Enquirer. But even if you want to look at it as some kind of fraud, it's on the list of crimes in the world. Boy, that's exceedingly minor. He wrote legal fees instead of hush money payment. I mean, and they say that they're using what would ordinarily be a misdemeanor. They're charging it as a felony because it was in commission of a larger crime, which is influencing the election. Well, influencing the election is what candidates do. Every time they wake up in the morning and open their mouth, they're influencing the election. Of course, they're going to try to cover up or downplay negative stories. And of course, they're all going to try to uplift or exaggerate positive stories. This is like daily normal life. And I can't imagine that this becomes a 34 felony case. And I can't imagine that in a normal time with a normal jury, anybody would look at this as something that deserves prison time. I mean, there may be crimes he committed in the other cases that deserve prison time. Not this one. Not for a bookkeeping entry as to whether it was legal fees or reimbursement for the hush money. I mean, that's and influencing an election. That's the business, right? That's what everybody in politics and media is doing now. Everybody's influencing elections. Boy, oh boy. They actually get 12 jurors to buy this. We've got more coming up.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year. Equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi on a network that covers more roads than any other carrier. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls. Finish up that presentation or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When it comes to financial advice, you gotta trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. If you're looking to upgrade your wallet, you need to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. If you're paying for vacations with whatever card is in your wallet, you could be missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table. You can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet. Finance smarter.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on from 1 to 4, and then after 4 o'clock, John Cobalt Show on demand on the iHeart app. There has been a run of burglaries, parked cars, in Playa del Rey, Westchester. This has been going on since January. And finally, two juveniles have been arrested, taken into custody. They broke into, what, 17? By the way, good parenting here, huh? Excellent. Good job. They should publish the photos of the parents. Probably just the parent. They probably didn't grow up in two-parent households. Let's go to Chris Adler, KFI News, with all the details.
Chris. Hey, John. Hey. So LAPD arrested those two minors for at least 92 car break-ins, John, across
92?
Western... Yes, 92 total, at least, that we know of. And this is across Playa del Rey and the Westchester area, going back to January. So in January, 60 cars were hit in the Westchester area. Then about 2 weeks ago, they hit 15 more cars in Westchester. And then this past Sunday, John, 17 other cars were burglarized. So that's 92 total.
I see. All right. So the 17 vehicles I mentioned, that was just a...
That was just Sunday.
That was just Sunday.
That was Sunday after church.
Yeah, and they probably were coming from church.
Right. I would expect no less. So, and then LAPD said this morning the investigation, actually the video footage that they pulled from several of these car break-ins is what led to the identification, and they were able to find their location at an apartment complex on Manchester Avenue where they found the two minors with credit cards, IDs, backpacks, burglary tools. So they're saying that these are the two responsible. So they were booked for the car burglaries, and then they were released to their parents. And police say the investigation's still ongoing, but is asking anyone out there who may have any surveillance video, because they're going to turn this over to DA Gascon's office for felony charges, John.
They are? What? Oh, that's right. It's election year. So he probably will charge them with felonies.
Well, they might, that's what they say.
They might even go for jail. Might be a weekend in jail for these two guys.
We don't know exactly how old they are. I was actually trying to get some more information from the investigators to find out, you know, exactly how they were able to identify them, get some more information, find out their age. We have not yet heard back from them. But what was really interesting was, I was covering this story. I was in Playa del Rey today, and I was speaking to people living in the area and people who work in the area. And what they told me was they don't see a lot of police patrol. It's been an issue for years. This area of Playa Del Rey is like this little pocket between Marina Del Rey and El Segundo, and they get forgotten about. And I spoke with Councilwoman Tracy Park about it, about the concern of the residents, concern of people working in the area, who say they get about 5 to 7 new homeless people a week, John. That's what they told me. 5 to 7 new homeless people, new faces, yeah, that they're seeing. They say, but because it's right off the 105, they're getting a lot of riffraff from inner city, people coming, creating a lot of problems along Vista Del Mar and going into Dockweiler Beach right there, yeah, in El Segundo. So they're seeing a lot of crime in the area, but not a lot of police.
Because Playa del Rey is a nice neighborhood, and it's generally a peaceful neighborhood. I've been there quite a few times.
Very nice, very quiet. I spoke with a woman who lives on the sand today, and she said, you know what, although the number is shocking with the amount of car break-ins in the area, but she said it's nothing new, that they've been dealing with this. Her neighbor had his car broken in 5 times. He's an Uber driver. He relies on his vehicle for his income. And she said this kind of stuff is happening in Playa del Rey, but they think it's happening because there's a lack of police patrol.
Yeah.
Because there aren't enough police on the streets because of the defunding of the police department. And they said, but it also gets forgotten about. People know that they can kind of get away with crime there, and the homeless hang out there, they sleep, mm-hmm, on the beach, they camp out, and no one's really doing anything about it.
Yeah, it's a little out of the way, and they don't get the police they need. I mean, because I've gone there a number of times, and there's no police. It doesn't even seem like it's part of Los Angeles. In fact, right. I wasn't sure that it was part of Los Angeles. I wasn't sure if it was its own thing or part of LA County.
It's such a small pocket, John, yeah, that it has the Sheriff's Department and part of Pacific, LAPD Pacific Division covering it. So it's not really assigned to one department. It's kind of, you know, it's like, okay, well, whoever is available, they'll call them, you know. And one thing, I spoke with a bartender out in Playa del Rey today, and he told me about 2 years ago, there was a homeless man who pulled out a machete, mm-hmm, and a bat, attacked 2 women, and it took him 3 911 calls to get police to come out and handle this guy. And then the police asked the bartender, what do you want us to do with him? Do you want us to drop him off about 40 miles away, or do you want us to take him to jail? And he said, are you kidding me? You guys are the police. Why, you're asking, yeah, me what,
well,
I want you to do with him?
This is life under Karen Bass. This is life under Eric Garcetti, you know, where the police have a mandate to do what? It should be obvious that he's committing crimes, and you should be taking him into the police station and charging him and then putting him in jail for a while. That's what was normal. Yeah. And now the police are asking.
Well, I did talk to LA City Councilwoman Tracy Park today, who's been very vocal about the situation.
Oh, she's very good. She's
really good. She's very active. And she was just, you know, she's very happy to see these arrests, but she knows more work needs to be done, and says what she's pushing for right now in the city council, John, is these video cameras, license plate readers that we're seeing in Beverly Hills, we're seeing in the Orange Police Department, because with the lack of police officers on the streets in Playa del Rey and that area, she said there needs to be a supplement. We need to have a supplement in the city, something else that we can do.
The cameras get the evidence after the fact, but if they had police patrols, that would be the deterrent to keep the thieves from stealing. If there's a police car always coming down the block, you're not going to go on a spree like that.
Well, I spend a lot of time in Playa del Rey, the Westchester area, and I can tell you, Today was the first time that I have seen an LAPD car drive through that area on Culver and Vista Del Mar in months. And I, like I said, I spent a lot of time out there. Yeah. I saw one car and I spoke with LAPD Pacific today and I said, hey, you guys, have you guys, you know, beefed up patrol? And the officer said to me, always. That was his response.
Always, but when I talked,
but when I talked to the residents and I talked to the employees who have been there for years, they said, no, we're not seeing any kind of patrol. No. We need patrol out here.
No, I've never seen an LAPD car drive through Playa Del Rey for all the times.
Today
I've been
was
there.
My first.
Well, congratulations. Maybe next time I go, I'll see one too.
I'll tell them you said hi, John.
All right. All right. Very good, Chris. Thanks for the report. Chris Adler from KFI News. I can't believe two kids. 92 vehicles since January? No, they don't have any police roaming the streets of Playa Del Rey. In fact, when I've been there, I've always been wondering, is this like L.A. County? Is this an unincorporated area? It's like, well, what's the jurisdiction here? Because there's no obvious sign that it's part of Los Angeles. Not if you're looking for a cop car. This is what Garcetti and Karen Bass, this is what they've created. They don't fund the police properly. They demonize the police. They take a knee for the police. This is what you do. In fact, story I didn't get to yesterday. You know what? I'll get to it next because this will lead right into it. They're not getting recruits showing up for LAPD classes. Karen Bass claims she wants to hire the police. Well, the police don't want to be hired, at least. You know, young men and women don't want to become police officers in L.A. And do you blame them? Well, the way they've been abused and insulted and neglected. I mean, it's just outrageous the way the cops have been treated in L.A. So why would somebody not already invested in the system? Why would they volunteer? We'll talk about that coming up.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Coming up after 2 o'clock, television journalist Jeff Vaughn, and he's hosted some shows here at KFI. He's got a story about George Gascon. It's election year, and Gascon is fighting for his life to get reelected as LA County DA. And he became well known for punishing deputy DAs who opposed his policies, and he would demote them. He would send these guys out to the equivalent of prosecutorial Siberia. Well, these guys are getting promoted again. They're now getting promotion. They're being reeled back from Siberia. And Jeff Vaughn's got the story, and he will talk to us coming up after 2 o'clock here on KFI. Now, we were just going through a report with Chris Adler from KFI News, and she was down in Playa del Rey, which is a very peaceful, civilized area of Los Angeles, just south of Marina del Rey, south of Venice. But they've had two, I assume they're teenagers. They're listed as juveniles. Although you never know. It could be 2 9-year-olds the way things are going. And these two characters broke into 92 cars since January. 92 cars. On January 20th, they smashed the windows of more than 60 parked cars. April 14th, 15. And then April 21st, 17. So it was 3 separate dates. 92 vehicles were smashed, stole a lot of stuff, stole a lot of backpacks, ID cards, credit cards. It shocks me. There is no chance I think I have ever left my ID, my credit card, my wallet inside a car. Like ever. But Playa del Rey is the kind of neighborhood where it seems like everything would be quiet and safe. Anyway, what Chris said is people in the neighborhood told her, hey, we don't have any police patrols here. And they don't. When I've been down there, I've never seen a cop. There's a lot of neighborhoods. The police work is overloaded to the south side and the east side. That's where the serious crimes are going on, which leaves the west side, for example, and parts of the valley exposed because there is less violent crime. There's more of this kind of stuff, which, you know, normal people take seriously. Burglaries, thefts, shoplifting, all that stuff that makes people frightened and crazy. That's important to them. Well, for police, that's a secondary job. And the reason that they don't have police patrols in all the neighborhoods One of the reasons is because Eric Garcetti and the police chief Michael Moore treated the cops so badly by disrespecting them from the time of the George Floyd riots right up to this moment. And Karen Bass hasn't done much better. She smiles and talks a good game, but she hasn't fooled anybody. She was always a part of the defund the police crowd. And I mean, she's naturally a progressive, and progressives don't like police. All right. Now that she's become mayor, she's got to at least give superficial support to hiring more cops. But she doesn't have a whole lot of money either. Well, she claims she wants to reach 9,500 officers. You know how many we have right now? 8,800. So we're about 700 short. Since July 1st, 550 officers retired, resigned, or were dismissed. 550. And they only got 300 recruits that graduated. So just since July 1st, we lost 200 cops for as far as total manpower. There's another 113 that are going to leave by June 30th. And the thing is, the classes that they're graduating are really small. The LAPD has graduated an average of about 31 recruits in its last 10 classes. 31. And you might be saying, well, how many cops does LA need? Well, the interim chief, Dominic Choi, says we need 12,000. We have 8,800. He says we need 12,000. And that number's been around for over 20 years. The former chief, William Bratton, he said 12,000 was the minimum that the department needed. And, of course, with the defund the police ninnies, idiots on the city council, and a defund the police mayor and Eric Garcetti, take a knee, Garcetti, take a knee, Michael Moore, what they did is they demoralized the cops, and a lot of the bad guys took cues from the police chief and from the mayor that, hey, open season on cops. These guys are bad. I mean, look what happened. Look what happened to the sheriff's deputy in West Covina. Shot in the back while he's sitting on a motorcycle at a red light. All that comes from the top. They look and see how the people's representatives, the people running the department, the people running the city and the county, what do they feel about the police? Oh, police are considered bad guys? Okay. Well, we're bad guys, they're bad guys. We'll take them on. That's the mentality. There's a high burnout rate among the officers. In fact, this comes from a U.S. Department of Justice study. There's reasons for what they call a historic crisis in police staffing because of public scrutiny of police conduct. You know, all the phones that come out every time a cop is trying to wrestle with a bad guy. Suddenly all this video recording devices come out. And of course, the video is edited out of context. It's put on the idiot local newscasts. How many stories have has something looked bad for the cop? And it's like, wait. You know, that's not the entire video. You didn't see the setup. Well, that's caused a big problem. Cops are afraid to move. They're afraid to act. They didn't even want to join. High officer burnout rates. And there are a lot of other jobs that pay better. You know, unemployment's pretty low. Most people are happy with the jobs they have right now. You know how bad it was after the George Floyd situation? The department lost 577 officers in that 1 year. 577. And now they're getting it back. They're getting the officers rehired 2-3 dozen at a time. The largest class to graduate from LAPD since July had 36 officers, the smallest 25. So about 2-3 dozen. And it's a 6-month course. You get 912 hours of training. You know, the police aren't trained well enough. Hey, they got 900 hours of training. Let's see how you'd do. There's a lengthy background check. Let's see, the pay now, starting salary is $86,000. There's a lot of bonuses, overtime, incentives. But, you know, they're not getting paid a fortune, not especially live in California. So what happens? Playa Del Rey gets no coverage. And two teenagers get to run amok and bust into 92 vehicles. When we come back, this is actually, you know, another part of the problem. George Gascon, he demoted or reassigned a number of deputy DAs who had opposed his policies, with Gascon running for re-election and polls say he's over 20 points down. Well, is he now giving promotions to these same deputy DAs that he had demoted? We're going to talk with Jeff Vaughn. Jeff Vaughn, television journalist, he'll come up with us after 2 o'clock. He's got the story. And we got Deborah Mark live in the KFI 24-hour newsroom. Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.